Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The legendary career of Joe Montana is no fluke. The talented athlete had the it factor that won big games at all levels of sports. And we take a look at the early gridiron life and accomplishments of Joe Montana in this edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. It's coming up next.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we look in that portal of football history to look back at one of the great legends of the game of football, quarterback Joe Montana. Now, Joe Montana was born on June 11th, 1956, and he's probably one of the most decorated quarterbacks of all time. He was born in the Pittsburgh area in a small suburb around Pittsburgh. Now, most of the fans of the game know this man's Pro Football Hall of Fame resume. Montana won the NFL's passing title in both 1987 and 1989. He topped the NFC in passing five times, 1981, 84, 85, 87, 89. And Joe threw for more than 300 yards in a game 39 different times in his career, and seven of these had yardage over 400 yards too. His six 300-yard passing performances in the postseason are an NFL record, and he also owns a career playoff record for attempts, completions, touchdowns, and yards gained passing. He led the 49ers to four Super Bowl victories under Bill Walsh, and after that part of his career, he had a couple of great seasons in Kansas City as a Chief as well. His amazing 15 seasons in the NFL included 40,551 passing yards, and he also earned a spot in eight different Pro Bowls. But how did Joe Montana get himself to play at such a high level? Well, let's take a look at the early developmental years of this legend in both the collegiate and the high school levels of football, and a little bit some other sports too. Now, it's hard to imagine the superstar of the NFL ever taking a backseat to anyone on the football field in his career. However, in our Hall of Fame story today, Joe Montana, we know that at Ringgold High School near Pittsburgh, the legendary quarterback spent his first 2 years on the football team as a backup quarterback. It was during his junior season that Montana earned the job as the Ringgold Rams starting quarterback. Montana held the role for the final two seasons of his high school career, and after his senior year, he reached one of the pinnacles of the scholastic players can dream of when Parade Magazine named him to their All-American team. Remember that, the Parade Magazine on Sundays in the fall would have, you know, post those pictures of all those great players and the Parade Magazine Players of the Year. I'm not quite sure if they still do that or not, because I've not seen a Parade Magazine in a while, but I know they did it, and it was quite prestigious at the time. Now, this young man, who's quite an athlete, Joe Montana, after earning the football accolades, the signal caller also was an integral to the Ringgold High School winning the 1973 Western Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic League's Class AAA Boys Basketball Champion. Now, that is around here in Western Pennsylvania is called the WPIAL, the W-P-I-A-L, and it's basically the suburbs of Pittsburgh and their great leagues that they have there. And it's quite an organization with a lot of really strong teams participating, especially in football and basketball. So that's quite prestigious, even in the 1970s, for a team winning that. And according to information gathered on thefamouspeople.com, Montana, after several groundbreaking performances on the Scholastic Gridiron, was noticed by Notre Dame coaches and recruiters and was eventually offered a scholarship, of which he accepted, at the school in South Bend. Now, for his first collegiate season in 1974, Montana was relegated to play on the Notre Dame freshman team, but varsity head coach Dan Devine at the time kept a watchful eye on the youngster through that and the following season. Now, Montana was able to contribute to the Irish program in his second season. A breakout moment for the signal caller might have been in the 1975 victory that Joe led the Fighting Irish over North Carolina. You see, the Tar Heels brought the crowd of Chapel Hill, North Carolina to their feet in a frenzy when, after a scoreless first half, North Carolina built a 14-0 lead over the Golden Domers. North Carolina, you see, they were a 17-point underdog in a contest, so just keeping it close in that first half was an accomplishment. But to have a 2-touchdown lead in the second half against a juggernaut, well, that might just be witness to a major football miracle. The crowd would be witness to history, and a miraculous history at that, but not the kind that they thought of at that moment when they were winning 14-0. Devine knew that his stagnant offense needed a spark. Starting quarterback Rick Slager was struggling. He had fumbled away one golden opportunity by the Irish in the first half, and a late second quarter pass was intercepted when it looked like Notre Dame might be finally finding some points. Now, he did manage to lead the Irish to Pater on a methodical drive early in the fourth quarter, but the time was running out for the Irish, and it was just taking too much time because it was a lot counted on the running game. They needed bigger chunk plays and quicker scoring drives that didn't use up as much clock. In the next series, Joe Montana entered the game, and a national audience for the first time was witness to the Montana Magic. Down 14-7, Cool Joe ignited the Irish offense into a 5-play touchdown drive that tied the game with just over 5 minutes left to play. Carolina answered with a drive of their own that ended when they missed a go-ahead field goal attempt from the 24-yard line of Notre Dame with 1:19 remaining. The first down play had a Montana pass miss, stopping the clock. Next play from the sideline was supposed to be a draw play to try and catch the Tar Heels by surprise. Instead, the sophomore under center called an audible when he saw something in the North Carolina defense as one cornerback approached the line pre-snap. The play, a toss to Burmeiger, his wide receiver, in the left flat, ended up turning into an 80-yard touchdown when the receiver cut upfield and outran the DB. It was a sign of brilliance for the quarterback and a foreshadowing of things to come in his efficiency of reading a pass defense and recognizing an advantage and getting his team in the right play at the right time. Notre Dame won that game on that decisive play, 21-14, and Joe's career was off to a great success. Well, that season in 1977, that would even become better, because it would be Joe's junior year had some big jumps in growth and development of experience for this quarterback and his advancement. The opening game of the year had the Irish travel to Pennsylvania to face the number 7 in the nation, Pitt Panthers. Notre Dame was trailing 9-6 entering the fourth quarter, when all of a sudden Joe and his magic act started. Montana led the Irish on 3 scoring drives that allowed the team from South Bend to escape the Steel City with a 19-9 win over their ranked opponent. Later that season, Joe had 2 come-from-behind victories that he led in the fourth quarter, one against Purdue and one against Clemson, down 17-10 respectively in those games in the fourth quarter. Amazing. Later on in his collegiate career, Notre Dame was invited to consecutive Cotton Bowl appearances. The one in 1978, Joe Montana led the Irish to a stunning 38-10 upset of the top-ranked University of Texas, a win that vaulted Notre Dame from 5th in the rankings in the regular season to the national championship of the college football. No one in the state expected the Longhorns to lose this game deep in the heart of Texas, but they had no answer for the offense led by Montana. Now, he earned that nickname, the Comeback Kid, the following year in the Cotton Bowl, you know, even though he had those Purdue and Clemson comebacks. When he played that 1979 Cotton Bowl, though, the quarterback was suffering from a bout with the flu as well as hyperthermia at halftime, and he had stayed in the locker room being fed chicken soup and warm IVs. Now, you know the old saying, soup warms the soul. Well, this dose of remedy stew roused something really special in Mr. Montana. When he returned in the second half, his team was trailing 34-12 to the University of Houston in the big nationally televised game. And imagine that, coming out of that locker room, you're suffering from the flu, you're colder than anybody's business. You know how miserable it is when you have the flu and you're in a warm area. Well, Montana came out on that field and guided the rally for a miraculous 35-34 comeback win. Remember, they were down 34-12. The guy's sick. Amazing. In the 1979 NFL draft, teams overlooked a quarterback for a couple of rounds, and he was not taken until the 82nd overall pick by Bill Walsh and the San Francisco 49ers. And Joe Montana played in all 16 games of his rookie season and helped the Niners become the team of the decade in the 1980s. So we hope this gives you just a little glimpse of what Joe Montana was as a young man in his teenage years and early 20s, college and high school, before he became such a great competitor in the NFL. And you can see the breeding and the grooming of a champion, how he was at Notre Dame and at Ringgold High School near Pittsburgh. So we hope you enjoyed this little bit of history, and we celebrate this great legend of the game, Joe Montana. Join us each and every day for more history and more segments on some great players, events, and time capsules from football history as we do it here on PigskinDispatch.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, PigskinDispatch@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, PigskinDispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.